may never come. Can everyone hear and see me? Can't see me. Fair enough. Can't hear you though. Okay. I guess I can begin. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight or today, I would like to share with you some thoughts on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad." One second, this is da'wah related. This is actually Ahmed. Walaikum salam. I'm on chat Islam right now, so the people can see me speaking to you on the phone live. So can I call you back when I'm done? Thank you, sir. Walaikum salam. Sorry. Yusuf, Sheikh Yusuf's son-in-law. Okay, that's why I answered the phone, because it's related to chat Islam one way or another. And it's actually my phone call to him was really, it matters. So I found it appropriate, because he called back, so maybe I thought it was urgent, but he understands. Anywho, so the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim with different wordings of the hadith. One of the wordings is man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad, and the other riwayah is man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu. These two narrations, according to the ulama, or some of the ulama, is this hadith is considered half of Islam. The other hadith, which is considered one half of Islam, is the hadith innama al-a'malu bi-niyyat. Verily, deeds are according to intentions. And they say that this deals with the internal aspects of the religion. Whereas the hadith which I quoted earlier, whoever does an action that is not in accordance with this affair of ours will have it rejected. The other wording is whoever introduces into this affair of ours something which is not part of it will have it rejected. This deals with all the outwardly actions. So they are the inwardly actions, the hadith innama al-a'malu bi-niyyat, verily deeds are according to intentions. And the one that deals with outwardly actions is the one I, you know, quoted right now. This particular hadith, if it were to be understood correctly by the Muslims, then we will not see innovations today. But it is sad to say, and we say this with sadness, that many Muslims have failed in understanding this basic understanding or this basic concept, and consequently they've introduced all kinds of innovations into Islam. Now, it is not news to you that what destroyed Judaism and what destroyed Christianity was innovations. And let's speak about the most or the more recent ones, the Christians. The Christians continued to innovate and invent new teachings in their religion until they became as bad, if not worse, than the mushrikeen, the idolaters of the past, present and the future. So much so that they eventually claimed that God had begotten a son. They say that, you know, God begot a son. It's an invented, innovative teaching concerning which Allah said in the Quran, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرحمن ولدا لقد جئتم شيئا إدا تكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه شق الأرض وتخر الجبال هدا أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا وما ينبغي للرحمن أن يتخذ ولدا إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا اللهم وعدهم عدا وكلهم آتيه يوم القيامة فردا إن عملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودرناه بلسانك لتبشر به المتقين وتنذر به قوما لدا. These ayat in Surah Maryam, Allah Azza wa Jal refuted with the claim that he begot a son. So much so that Allah said, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. They say that the Most Merciful has begotten a son. Then Allah said to them, you have said something outrageous. لَقَدْ قِلْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّ. Something outrageous, heinous. How bad is it? So bad, so outrageous, so heavy. So that Allah said in the next ayah, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ. The heavens are about to rip open. وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضِ. And the earth is about to split asunder. وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّ. And the mountains are about to fall in ruin. أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا. Just because they claim that the Most Merciful begot a son. And then Allah said, وَمَا يَمَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَن يَتَخِذَ وَلَدًا. It doesn't befit the majesty of the Most Merciful to beget a son. إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا. There isn't anything in the heavens or in the earth except that it will come to Allah as a slave. لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا. He has counted them and enumerated them one by one. يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. And all of them, they will come to him on the Day of Judgment alone, individually. So these ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal, speaks against the claim that the Christians invented. And that came from innovation. The source of this statement, the source of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the source of the Trinity, the source of the presence of a Pope and the existence of a Pope and the need for the Pope, the presence of confession and confessing to the priest the sins. All these are innovations. And it is these same innovations that have brought the destruction upon the previous nations and previous religions. So then, the matter is not as light as some people assume it is. The matter of innovations in the religion is something which will eventually destroy a religion. Now, by Allah's grace and mercy, Islam stands out. Islam stands out and is unique since Allah promised the preservation of the remembrance which He sent down. The dhikr. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr. وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. It is we who send down the reminder, and it is we who will protect it and preserve it. The ulama mention it encompasses the Quran and the Sunnah, because the Sunnah is part of the revelation. The Sunnah is part of the revelation, because it's al-kitab وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He teaches them the kitab, the hikmah. Are you speaking to me, monitor? Turn off my camera. Oh, sorry. So then, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and others had said that the sunnah, the hikmah, is the sunnah. And the ulama have elaborated on it. Could be the wisdom, could be the fiqh of the teachings of Islam. Regardless, the point being, the sunnah is part of the revelation and part of the teachings of Islam. It's not something that is independent or separate. We just need to require, or we need to look into the authentication of the texts. Whereas in the Quran, it's a given that everything in the Quran is already sound. But the hadith requires, scholars of hadith to evaluate the chain of narrators and label the hadith as sound, authentic or inauthentic, and the other labels which the narration usually receives. The Quran and the Sunnah, then Allah protected and promised that they will be protected. So no matter how many innovations people introduce, inshallah, until the end of time, they will remain to be a group of the Muslims upon the truth, adhering to it. They will not be affected, they will not be harmed by those who disagree with them, those who oppose them, and those who may go against them. And these are the individuals that adhere strictly to the Sunnah and do not entertain innovations in any way, shape, or form. Because innovations can be in the belief system, such as people saying like the Qadariya and the Jabariya. The Qadariya, who say that the decree of Allah, the knowledge, the decree of Allah, they have an issue with the decree of Allah. Jabariya, let me begin with the Jabariya. The Jabariya say everything you do has been imposed on you. Since Allah preordained everything, Allah pre-decreed everything, then everything you do, you're in fact forced to do it, since it's by the decree of Allah. And so they deny the will. Which Allah gave us. And the Qadariya do the opposite of that. They do the opposite of that. They say that we have the free will and it's independent. And the correct is the one that here is أَنَا وَأَيَّشَاءُ رَبُّ الْعَلِيمِ. You do not will until Allah, the Lord of everything, wills. So Allah established and spoke of a will to Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He affirmed the will of the human beings. However, our will is conditional and dependent to the will of Allah. If Allah doesn't will, then our will never come to existence. But He did give us that will. He did say, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمْ. Whoever wills, let him believe, may believe. Whoever wills, may disbelieve. Not that Allah is allowing it, but this is the Allah allows this to happen in the universe, but in His law, He doesn't want kufr. But in the universe, it's from the wisdom of Allah. And لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمْ. So for whoever amongst you wills to become upright, to go straight, to be rightly guided. So then, this is one example of innovations in the bill, of course, which you can read and know about in the books of Aqeedah. In terms of acts of worship, then we also have a lot of inventions and innovations as well. Very often, they manifest in celebrations, be it celebrations that the Muslims invent within the boundaries of the religion, which are still rejected, but they're based on Islamic concepts, more or less. And they are ones which are totally picked up from non-Muslims and somehow integrated into Islam, and then people say that we're not doing it as part of the religion, it's just part of the regular normal things of life. An example of the first would be the Mawlid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which they give it a particular date, even though in Rabi'ul Awwal, even though the scholars do not agree on when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. There's no consensus on this issue beyond the shadow of doubt that he was born on that particular date. But they do believe that the date which they say he was born on, alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the day he died on. But for example, this issue of Milad al-Nabawi, people say that we're trying to show our love to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what have you. And the intention sounds nice, but the action is incorrect. Based on the hadith, which we quoted in the beginning of the dars, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٍ. So doing an action which is not in accordance with the affair on the teachings of Islam will be rejected. Will be rejected. So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had said about himself, أَنَا سَيِّدْ وَلَدْ آدَمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخْرْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, he said, I am the master, and not as in the master, mastery of Allah. I am the master of the children of Adam on the Day of Judgment, and I'm not boasting. This is the position which Allah gave him. This is the title which Allah gave him. We know that when all the prophets will say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself, when the people will come to them seeking intercession for the beginning of the judgment, only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, ana laha, I am for it. I'm up for this task. And he will be the one who will intercede for Allah Azza wa Jal to begin the judgment among the creation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is a special position Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he knew the status he had with Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And with that knowledge, he never made it a point to celebrate the day he was born on annual basis, as it is done today. The Sahaba, who loved him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immensely, way more than we can ever love him. And if you really want, you know, if you want to relate to this concept, I'm gonna, you know, this is just a proposal. Let's try to visualize it and see, let's, you know, test ourselves. Now, you know that it was confirmed that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would actually spit something, the Sahaba would fight over that saliva and then they would rub their faces with it. Now this is love, okay? This is yani, let's say, unconditional love. Love where you, where the elements which may usually disgust people because of the love that you have for someone, this is how the Sahaba were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can we do that? Can one of us imagine or visualize himself actually grabbing the saliva of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, and wiping his face with it, wiping his body with it? If you do, then mashallah, tabarakallah, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we hope that this is indicative of the love to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some may say, no, you know, I love him, but I'm okay on that one, or something along these lines. The Sahaba then had genuine, immense love, and they knew his right sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they, anyone could ever do to materialize this right which they knew that he had alayhi salatu wasalam. With that, they never ever celebrated his birthday. And neither did the generations that came before them, including the imams of the madhahib, which are famous, popular and respected among the Muslims, and other imams which were not as famous but still known. It was not something that they got involved in. This was introduced, according to many of the scholars, by the Fatimites, you know, by some time later, where this idea of celebrating the birthday became something popular, and now today it has taken over. So much so that you will hardly find a Muslim country where the Mawlid is not celebrated. Sometimes it is done secretly, and sometimes and often is done publicly. Public invitation, and you know, the thing, it became the norm. So much so that if you try to address this issue or speak about it, you know, people say that you're an extremist, you're a fundamentalist, or they give you other titles and names, because now you've went against the flow. But that act is an invention in Islam. It's an innovation in Islam. And we have to understand, beginning with myself and you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that it is not a matter of taste. You know, it is not style. You know, some people have their own style. Well, I like this kind of, you know, this kind of, you know, garment looks good with these kinds of shoes. I think with this kind of, you know, kufi, it will look good. Okay, yeah, okay, that can be done when you want to dress. And if your dress is not that of fame, you know, you're not standing out if people look a particular way. But if one of us wants to treat Islam in this fashion, then we are dead wrong. If you want to look at it, say, well, you know, I think this looks good. It's like just like the Christians. Just like the Christians. They come up with new ideas. They are entertained. They became part of the religion. In some cases, you know, on a Sunday, and you can hear the music, you know, 20 blocks away, and you'll think, you know, Sunday morning prayer and rituals that the Christians have. And so you say, was Jesus doing any of this? Was this something that is, you know, found? Does it have its basis? It's things of the, that this is the manner in which Allah Azza wa Jalla is worshipped? You say, no. But it was invented to the religion, became popular, and it remains until today. And then some of the Muslims picked up on the same thing. And they also want to worship Allah in a musical fashion, and with, you know, songs and dancing and turning around, wearing some, you know, some robes, you know, some big, you know, baggy robes, and you know, this is a form of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. A lot of things is just, you know, we're following the footsteps of those who came before us, and this is something which we cannot afford to do. The situation is simple. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, we do. Whatever he approved, we can do. Whatever he spoke about, we can do. So whether he did it, he said something about it, or someone did it in his presence and he acknowledged it, he approved it, then this is the sunnah which we may act upon, if it's pertaining to the matters of the worship, that is, of course. Anything which he could heft alone, then this is something that we leave alone. If during his time there was a need for it, that would have served a purpose, religious matter. I'm not speaking about worldly matters like cars, trains, airplanes. This is not included, because this is from the matters of the worldly life. We're speaking about matters of religion, worship, you know, service to Allah. If it could have entertained that addition, however, that addition never existed, it becomes an innovation to do it today. Even if now the fact that the situation is the same, the need for it remains the same. When the need existed then and it wasn't done, then we cannot come do it today. So then we say whatever the Prophet ﷺ deliberately left alone, yet he could have done, the sunnah becomes that you also leave it alone. You also leave it alone. The scholars give an example. Maybe there are some differences of opinion among the scholars, or at least from what I heard, but most of the scholars which you know, have addressed this issue that I've personally come across, the issue of raising the hands in dua after the congregational prayer or after the obligatory prayer. Now, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he loved the Sahaba in Salah for many years. And we don't have a single narration that he ever turned around and did a congregational dua with the companions who were praying behind him. And that could have happened. The fact that that could have happened, there were times where the Muslims were in need, the Muslims were suffering, and the dua of the Prophet ﷺ is accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The need was there, never ever did he do it, then do it. The sunnah becomes that you don't do it either. And if you do it, then you're actually doing an innovation. So the scholars label this particular act of this congregational dua after the jama'ah as a bid'ah. It's an innovation, because you're trying to get closer to Allah in a manner which He did not prescribe. And this is a very, very, you know, serious matter. You know, your boss, I'm just going to give you a word, the example which we can relate to. Your boss gives you some you know, guidelines and some rules with which you have to, you know, handle yourself at work. And he only accepts that you do business according to ABC. Now, you may be very good at, he's not interested in EFG because he wants to see the business done according to his ABC. So, no matter how good you may do something that is beyond his requirements, it will be of no value. Because he didn't want that from you. He didn't ask it of you. Your intention was good. You're trying to add to the ABC which existed and you want to add more things, but he's not interested in that, because if that was good for him, he would have told you, I want the business to be done according to ABCDEFG. The fact that he only gave you ABC, you have to stick to ABC. Now Allah Azza wa Jal had legislated the law until the end of time. And Allah said, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. This day, which was on the day of Arafah, I have perfected your religion for you. And I have completed my favor upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as a way of life for you. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, أَكْمَلْتُ, perfected. And you know, in English, perfect is perfect. If something is perfect, if you add to it, it's no longer perfect, and if you remove from it, it's imperfect. Perfection is keeping it at the stage when we gave it the title perfect. Yani, when do you say perfect? When it reaches perfection. If it reaches perfection and you say perfect, then you add something, you still say perfect again, it can't be. The perfect only was sound the first time you said it. Otherwise now there's an addition. And the same way goes with deleting or subtracting. So perfected the religion, it's perfect. If Allah wanted us to do that particular act of worship, it would have been legislated. The fact that it was left out deliberately. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. And your Lord was never forgetful, was never to forget anything. Allah never forgot anything at all. Allah has never regretted anything at all. You know, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, it says that, you know, God, you know, He regretted creating Adam. He repented from creating Adam, and it grieved into His heart. So we say, no, that's not Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's not Allah azza wa jal. Allah knows the things, how they would have come out had He created them. You know, even things which Allah didn't create. If He were to create them, He knows what the outcome of these things would be. This is the vast knowledge of Allah azza wa jal. So there isn't anything that He will forget. So someone will come after, you know, 1400 years and say, ah, I figured it out. There's this part missing in Islam. Please, you know, allow me to add it and bring it in, mix Islam away. No way. Because anything you're adding is in fact undermining and degrading the perfection and the beauty of Islam in the way Allah Azza wa Jal had perfected it. When you try to add or delete something, then you're claiming that the Islam is not good enough. And if we think that the religion of Allah is not the best religion, then we have a misunderstanding of the religion of Allah, which we need to, you know, study all over again due to that. So, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action that is not in agreement with this affair of ours, this command of ours, this matter of ours, will have it rejected. Brothers and sisters in Islam, whatever we know of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is sound and authentic, we apply it, put it into practice, and worship Allah according to it. Whatever we cannot confirm the authenticity of, or whatever is not part of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must leave it alone, even if many people around us are doing it. The action of people does not render something correct, because Allah says, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّوكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you follow, if you obey most people on earth, the majority of people on earth, they will mislead you from the path of Allah. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ شَكُورٌ. Allah says, and few of my soul, the number doesn't make a difference. The quantity doesn't make a difference, it's the quality. A few people on the Sunnah are better than many people that are not on the Sunnah. Many people around us practicing innovations does not make this innovation part of the Sunnah. And Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah had spoken way back, 700 years ago approximately, about when people will make the Sunnah a bid'ah and the bid'ah a Sunnah. When you reach a time when you do the Sunnah, it's so uncommon, it's so, you know, rare, that they think that what you're doing is an innovation into the religion, but you're really doing a sunnah. And the bid'ah becomes so widespread that when, you know, people think this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see what I'm saying? And he said at the end of that statement of his that if you make it to that time, then verily the bottom of the earth is better than the surface, and mixing with beasts in the in the mountain area is better than mixing with people. He was saying this back then, and don't ask about what's happening now. In addition to the other innovations which existed then, many new ones have been introduced ever since, some which we came up on our own among the Muslims, and some which we picked up from other religions, some of the Hindu rituals and practices, some of the Christian ones, and so on and so forth. So, you know, we need to ourselves, and we all have our share of shortcomings, and you know, identify the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and act according to it. Verily, whoever does that has been guided aright, and inshallah ta'ala will be among the inhabitants of paradise, provided that we do the acts of worship and the deeds for the sake of Allah alone, which I ask Allah to grant me and you the sincerity in doing so, and we do it according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we adhere to that to the best of our abilities as long as we are alive, inshallah. These are the ones whom Allah Azza wa Jal has said about, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily those who strive in our cause, we shall guide them to our paths, and verily Allah is ever with those who excel in doing good. So with that, inshallah, I conclude my short talk on innovations and inventions in Islam. Or let's stick to innovations in Islam. And now, brothers and sisters, if you have any questions which are related to the topic or not really related to the topic, you may go ahead and ask them. The monitor will give you further instructions on how to go about it, inshallah. Let's stick to the rules of the page here, and then inshallah we'll see what happens next. So monitor SH, Zakum la khair. I think you can there you go. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. You guys have no questions. Sounds great. ما شاء الله. So maybe I should ask questions. I'll ask the questions and you guys will give me the answer. يلا. Question number one. Question number one. Who was the first O Prophet? Oh, never mind. Here comes the first question. Salaamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. What is the ruling on using perfume? And what about watching movies? Concerning the first, using perfume is fine. In fact, it may be recommended or maybe even obligatory at times. Based on the principle مَا لَا يَتِمُّ الْوَاجِبُ إِلَّا بِهِ فَهُوَ وَاجِبُ. There are times when you have to smell nice or you have to eliminate a bad odor. Let's say someone has a bad odor and they want to go to the masjid, they must do something about it. And if perfume does the job, then perfume becomes a requirement. Otherwise, it's just something which the Prophet ﷺ loved. Among the three things which were made beloved to him عليه الصلاة والسلام was الطيب, good smell, the perfume. So this is fine. Maybe you're referring to the alcoholic ones, the one that have alcohol. This is an issue which is a little complicated. I can quote to you the fatwa of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, however, rahimahullah, who said that if the level of alcohol or percentage of alcohol is high, then leave that thing alone. If it is low, however, then you may use it and feel no reservations. You may use it freely, provided that the percentage of alcohol is small. Some of these, foreign ones, I guess, like the French ones or whatever, quite have a lot of alcohol. So that, is that's the fatwa of the Sheikh. I know there are other opinions, but this is what I personally know. What about watching movies? Well, the movies, and I don't know when was the last time someone was able to watch a movie that didn't have music and didn't have naked women. And what I mean by naked women is women that are not dressed Islamically. I don't mean naked, because some people say naked as in they're not half dressed or partially dressed or not fully dressed. If you know of a movie that doesn't have music, doesn't have profanity, and doesn't have these kinds of women, doesn't have shirk, doesn't have magic, doesn't have any un-Islamic thing, then watch it all you want, provided that it doesn't distract you from other obligations also, which is far-fetched. You may then watch it, not all the time, sometime. But I don't know of such a movie. And most people, the movies they watch do not meet these requirements and do not have these conditions. They're movies that have music, they have half-naked women, and they have foul language and all kinds of nonsensical content. So, you know the ruling then, inshallah. How can you make iman strong? Like if you are in need of something desperately and you're asking Allah for it every day but you're not getting it. How to keep strong? Well, you keep strong by first knowing that not everything which you may ask for is good for you. This is why we have been taught to do Salatul Istikhara. Salatul Istikhara, which is, you know, you pray any voluntary 2 units, and then after, and if you really, you know, reflect on the wording of the dua, you're basically leaving the matters in the hands of Allah, that you don't know whether that thing is good for you, and so if it is good for you, ask Allah to facilitate it, bless it for you, and make you happy with it, and if it is no good for you, ask Allah to keep it away from you, and you know, to give you something better. Ibn Qayyim again, rahimahullah, you know, said, and it's beautiful words, he said, no one should ask Allah of something specifically, because you don't know whether that thing is good for you or not. I mean, we're speaking about matters of the dunya. Of course, you ask Allah for Jannah, that you ask for specifically. But let's say you wanted to join a particular school, or you wanted to marry a particular individual, you may think that there's goodness in that, but Allah knows that there isn't. So he said, the best thing is that you say, that you ask Allah to give it to you if it's good for you, and to keep it away from you if it's bad for you. Now very often, we may ask Allah for something which Allah knows if He were to give it to us, it will lead us astray. So He doesn't give it to us. On our end, this is good. Because A, Allah is protecting us from the potential harm and evil of that thing. Second, we continue to make dua. Making dua is an act of worship. It brings humility to the slave. It brings submission to Allah. Thirdly, you're getting closer to Allah Azza wa Jal with this dua. And fourthly, as it comes in the narration, that if Allah doesn't give it to you in the dunya, then Allah Azza wa Jal will either save you from a calamity which was going to befall you because of that dua, or Allah will save it for you as a reward on the day of resurrection, on the day of recompense. So it's a win-win situation. Keep strong, because you don't say, and Prophet ﷺ said, do not, you know, say, I asked Allah for something and He didn't give it to me. Be consistent and be just, but ask for things which you know, which are definitely good. The things which you don't know about, things which remain best for them directly, rather ask Allah to give them to you if they're good, and to keep them away from you if they're not. And this is really what istikhara manifests. It's a manifestation of the dua, and it's the best thing that you can do when you are in a situation where you have decided to do something, but you don't know whether it will be good for you or it won't be. Wallahu alam. My Muslim friend told me Happy New Year more than once. What should I tell him? You should tell him, what do you mean by Happy New Year? Explain it to me. Happy, you're wishing me happiness. Is this a dua? Is it a dua? When you say to someone, even Sabah al-Khair. Aren't you wishing that this person, good morning, aren't you wishing that this person, who's going to give them the good morning? Is it Allah or other than Allah? It's Allah. So saying Happy New Year, in fact, is a form of supplication. So is celebrating the Gregorian calendar or even the Hijri calendar, is this something that has its basis in Islam? It is baseless. It is a Christian holiday. That's why it's after Christ, 2011 after Christ. It's related to the coming of the quote-unquote Son of God, the birth of the Son of God, you know, Jesus. So the 25th of December is the so-called birthday of Jesus, but the year begins and the 1st of January. And that's why every year they consider, you know, the years from the time of Jesus. It's not Noah, it's not Abraham, it's not Moses, it's no one else. So New Year is later, and if it weren't, it's not Islamic. Happy New Year is in fact, it's in fact a dua. I'm wishing you a Happy New Year. Who gives the happiness? Who is the source of sa'ada and shaqa' or shiqawa? It's Allah Azza wa Jal. It's Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah reward you with goodness. And you know, these are ad'iyah. So you explain to this person that, you know, you need to evaluate what you're saying. Is it pleasing to Allah? Or do you say things that, you know, you repeat after people? People say Happy New Year, you say Happy New Year. Did you reflect on what Happy New Year means? Did you realize that you're actually wishing something for me? And anything which we have is from Allah. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. There isn't any bounty that you have except that it is from Allah. Happiness, isn't it a bounty? It is a bounty. And it is from Allah. So wishing someone that is wishing it from Allah. So it becomes, you know, you can't, the same thing as happy birthday, anything that the people say, I don't mean it religious. Say, look, it's a dua. You don't realize it, but you're making a dua. You may be dead in terms of the sensitivity of the meanings of things, but, you know, this is not good. But at the end of the day, this is really a dua. You wishing someone something, and if we were to reflect on it from an Islamic perspective, it is Allah or no one. No one can give you happiness but Allah. Subhanallah. That's what you can say. Hopefully they will not be upset with you and they will accept it. And if you're able to explain it in this fashion, inshallah, or a better way, it will do the job, inshallah. Salam. Alaykum, alaykum salam. How do I move the finger in tashahud? Can you please demonstrate? Yes. I saw on YouTube Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini mentioning that he learned from Sheikh al-Albani that the movement of the finger is in this fashion. It's pointing towards the Qibla and you move it fast in its same kind of, in the same area. You don't go up and down, because he said this is khafdun wa raf'un, and we're dealing with tahriq, movement. Khafd raf' is lowering and raising. So of course this is an issue, by the way, which the scholars have different ways of looking at it based on the understanding of the hadith. And I'm not giving you a fatwa, but I'm telling you, since you asked me, and what I trust from the opinions, I'm following the opinion of these ulama who say that the movement is to be done in this particular fashion. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Assalamu alaykum wa alaykum as-salam. Brother, is it alright to kill someone if he has said bad about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We have blasphemy law here. Well, the one who curses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to be killed. That's the ruling in Islam, flat out. No compromise. Because his protecting his honor and dignity is an obligation on the Muslims. And if the Muslims don't do that, and every Tom, Dick and Harry is going to come and run their mouth about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will have a calamity. However, who carries out this actual execution is where the elaboration is. This is not to be done, as far as I know, by anyone. This has particular guidelines, and this must be referred to the scholars, so we can really know the ruling. But is he to be killed? Yes, from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you have a blasphemy law in your country, then inshallah they should apply it. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Is it allowed to play board games like Monopoly, Ludo, Monopoly, games that involve a dice? No, it is not. No, it is not allowed to play a game which involves dice. It is not allowed to play a game which involves dice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that whoever plays with dice, it's as if he has dipped his hand in the flesh and the blood of a swine, of a pig. It is something that is not allowed in Islam, and you may not play these particular games. You may not play these particular games, and Allah knows best. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Which tafsir one should use to understand the Quran? Depending on which language you speak. If you mean in English, then as far as I know, the only Ibn Kathir. There may be other small ones which may not be as detailed, but the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, inshallah, is one of the most reliable tafsir. Be it in the Arabic world or the English one, inshallah, and you can purchase it online or in their stores. and inshallah you will find tremendous benefit in it. In Sahih Hadith, which teaches the etiquette of night, we are asked to turn off the lights in the house before sleeping. Are bed lamps allowed? My understanding is it deals with fire, not lamps. They didn't have lamps per se, or you know, they would have torches perhaps. And so the ruling is speaking about turning, putting out the fire, burning fire, like perhaps candles and stuff. But as for a lamp, any scholar criticize it or say anything about it. We should verify and make sure that lamps are okay. Wallahu a'lam. Are women allowed to wear jeans? Well, the jeans, I mean, do you mean under the abaya, under the outer garment, or are the jeans going to be viewed by people? Perhaps some elaboration would help, because this may be interpreted in multiple ways. Okay, we move on to the next one. When reading the Shahada and the Taslim, do you have to move your finger after raising it? Again, this is in different. Ways. Some of the ulama said that you move the finger while you're making dua. And أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله you keep it pointing straight. Wallahu a'lam. Salaam alaikum salam. I have to recite a surah in front of non-Muslims. I have a time of 2 to 3 minutes. Which surah is the best with translation? It depends on your audience. It depends on your audience. When you say non-Muslims, this could be people who have zero knowledge of Islam. This could be Christians. This could be atheists. This could be Hindus, Buddhists. I think, you know, it will be, depending on your crowd, you may choose something which is suitable. If you have, for example, a group of Christians, then you would do what the Prophet ﷺ did. Where he would, when he would send the letters to the different rulers, he will quote, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا شَهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Until the end, say, O people of the book, come to a common term between us that we worship none but Allah, and we do not associate anything in worship with them, and we do not take from amongst ourselves gods besides him. And if they turn away, say, then verily bear witness that we are Muslims. You may quote ayat Surah Al-Ikhlas, a surah which has a strong reminder about the Qiyamah. You can quote فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. Until the end of the ayat, wallahi it depends. I cannot really think right now of what would be the most suitable. It is a group of Hindus. If it's a group of Hindus, then it would be suitable to quote some ayat where Allah Azza wa Jal struck the similitude of the false gods. Furqan. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَا يَخْلُقُونَ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا بِلِبْلَا. Surah Al-Furqan. In fact, Surah Al-Furqan, from the beginning, read the beginning of Surah Al-Furqan until halfway through the second page. Because I believe the first part of it is on the first half of the page. Then, you know, read the first few ayat of Surah Al-Furqan. If it's a Hindus, if it's a group of Hindus, wallahu a'lam, it may be suitable. Or if you go over the Quran, you may come up with something better than my suggestion. But that's what comes to mind right now. Is there any dua that you can recite if you stop getting marriage proposals? I don't know of any dua which is specific for requesting a spouse. Perhaps this falls under the general dua. You know, you just ask Allah Azza wa Jal what you need. And I don't know personally of anything that which is specific that. Beautiful. So thank you very much, brothers and sisters in Islam, for your patience and perseverance. And I look forward, inshallah ta'ala, to our session on Jumu'ah, Friday, 4:30 p.m. Mecca time. I think it's 9:30 Eastern time. There, inshallah, we will be continuing our discussion on enhanced da'wah in a glance. And in particular, we were discussing the issue of examples, striking in order to clarify complicated matters and explain to the people what they may not understand in religious terms. You try to give it to them in worldly terms to bring the, drive the point home, as they say. So inshallah, we hope that we'll see. وَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وسلام على المرسلين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.